Nerd Soul.
Okay. Okay, Transformers. Okay. Lay Ill Kid at one. Y'all still holding it down. Bring that Street Geek and Nerd Soul. What is up, my people? Today. Oh, yeah. Another wonderful episode of That's Right Movie Reviews. We ain't playing no games up in here. We gonna have a good time. Now, I'm gonna be honest, y'all. It's just you and me. All right. It's just you and me. It's just you and your brother right here. And before I get started, I'm going to say that the first 5 to 6 Transformer films, all of the Transformer films that came before Bumblebee, they weren't my favorite. You know what I'm saying? They weren't my favorite. I ain't going to front. I ain't going to act like I was, you know, a huge fan. It was cool seeing Transformers, but I wasn't a huge fan. Now, when they did the Bumblebee film and they let it be known, like, hey, we taking a new turn. It's starting from here. We start with Bumblebee. I was like, all right, let's see what you do. You know what I'm saying? Let's see what you got. And Bumblebee, I was like, you know what? This is a nice film. Haley's cool. They had young Obama in there. I was enjoying it. You know what I'm saying? I enjoyed it so much, I even got the movie. You know what I'm saying? I watched it. You know what I'm saying? Watched it again. Watched it with the little guy. You know what I'm saying? Get a little Transformers action. It's cute. It's like watching Iron Giant or something like that. But, oh, they said, yo, look, we got Rise of the Beast for you, bro. We got a new movie. And I said, hold up real quick. Before y'all make this movie, is this movie with the other movies or is this movie with Bumblebee and the new stuff? And they said, yo, man, look, this for Bumblebee. All right, this is the new canon. This is the new you. Alright, you ain't gotta worry about the old stuff no more. And I was like, alright, man, let's see. I don't know what you gonna do. Now, before we go any further, it's gonna be some spoilers. Alright, we talking about this joint. You saw the title. We talking about this joint like you done seen it. Alright, so here's the deal. I did not think that we would be able to stick to this whole Bumblebee timeline thing when they, I guess, rebooted it to a certain degree. But I'll give it to them. They stuck to it in this movie. They stuck to it and they stayed true. Now, here's the deal. This movie is not only entertaining. I enjoyed the film. But they handled the humans well. And when I say handle the humans well, if you've been at least keeping up with a few of the Transformers films, you know, hey, look, the humans be kind of in the way. But the way Bumblebee was handled and the way this movie is handled to a better degree, the humans have their place. Because, I mean, of course, you know, we on Earth, man. It's not like humans don't exist. But they gave them their time but didn't let them steal the show because it is a Transformers movie. And I'm going to tell you, the show is beautiful. We get fight scenes. We get chase scenes. All well done. The effects are top notch. And even though we've seen, 7 Transformers movies now? 6, 7? 6, I think. But anyway, we've seen them. I'd say with Bumblebee and this film, this new direction they're going in, I feel more emotional engagement and emotional value in these newer films. It's weird. It's almost like I feel like they're giving humans less time but deeper stories. So like, even though we're not spending as much time with these people as it felt like they spent with like Wiki and all them, I think we're getting better stories with the way they handle the humans now. So, straight up, before we even get going any further, yes, I like the movie. Yes, I saw it in IMAX. And I'm digging this new path we're going on. So, let's go on and get into the characters. We got Noah and his brother Chris. And then you have Elena. And those are basically all the humans we're going to see. Now, Noah and Chris's mom is Detective Moreno from New York Undercover. So, you know what I'm saying? If y'all know her, y'all know what's up. But that's all we get. We don't get no more. So it's not like a whole bunch of people running around. And the younger brother, Chris, he kind of is in his place and we leave him and they go on off. But what I love is we spend some time up early with Noah and Chris and getting into their relationship as brothers and how they interact with one another and how Chris's affliction or I guess disease or virus or because I think they say he has sickle cell, how it not only affects Chris but also how it affects his brother and you know what they're going through to kind of like solve it and to live with it and to kind of just move on with their lives because I mean life ain't gonna stop because you're sick, you know what I'm saying? And we get to see inside their lives but not to the point where it drains the story. We get enough of their information to kind of know who he is, what they're going through, and then we get on into the story. And same with Elena. We find out Elena is our museum, you know, intern. Homegirl knows all about hieroglyphics and you know paintings and all this mess, and she's going to be our sort of resident expert. And we get a little bit of their lives. We know that she's an intern. She's getting kind of crapped on by her boss, and we kind of go on off. And I think that's really all we need in a film like this. And it's not that they're shortchanged because we know we get to see that Elena's, you know, overworked. She's underpaid. She doesn't get the credit for her work. But she cares about her work. She cares about her work more than her boss does. On the flip side, we see that Noah is ex-military. He loves his little brother. He's doing all he can to be able to step in the gap for his father, where I don't know if the father has passed away. They didn't really remark on him. So I don't know if the father has passed away or if the father just isn't there. But he's stepping in the gap to kind of help in with his mother and his brother that's sick by also being able to get work in a, I guess you could say, in a legal and a positive way, even though he's pressed up against a very depressing and a very pressing issue where trying to get fast money or getting easy money would be, you know, the easy choice, you know what I'm saying? He's trying to take the high road. So we know these things about these people. We get their kind of, their attitude towards life and the kind of people they are. But we don't have to belabor those points. And we kind of get to move on and see them kind of grow while they show us who they are. You know what I'm saying? So that's something I love. I really dug the opening scene. The seeing the Maximals and how they introduced the Maximals and how they introduced Unicron kind of really quick at the beginning. And letting us know that Scourge is not to be played with. He's not to be trifled with. He's got hands. He's serious. And he's kind of backed by Unicron. And, you know, Unicron ain't no joke. You know what I'm saying? So we get to see a quick fight scene up front. We get to see the passing of the torch for Optimus Primal. We get to hear about their knowledge of Cybertron's war. And also get to, I guess, see the perspective of them saying, of Airazor saying, we're from your past and your future kind of thing. So knowing where they are, how they are, and their outlook, especially towards Unicron, definitely kind of colors where they are when they meet Optimus Prime later on in the film. So I love that because We don't have to do a whole bunch of exposition. We can show, oh, Unicron, okay, he's huge. Oh, and also the design, which I'll get into later. But, you know, he's huge. He has his kind of herald similar to Galactus. And he's just basically an unstoppable force. Like, you know, basically all you can do is just run from him, essentially. And they establish that really quick. And it's not in a situation where we have to just talk about it. You know what I'm saying? You can see it shown to us, which is something that I really enjoy. Now, let's talk about the setting. It's in 1994. And you know they're going to lean on the music. But shouts to the director. What's his name? Steven... Stephen Capel Jr. Shouts out to him as a director. The music choices were definitely on point. We got Digable Planets, we got Nas, we got Wu-Tang. You know, I was born in 82, so this music was right up my alley. They had Tribe Called Quest. Noah had a De La Soul tape in, you know, in his room. You know, all of this was awesome. We even got a reference to TLC's Waterfalls, but I will ding this movie one time. All right, so, well, I'm gonna ding this movie twice. Well, I'll ding the trailer and then I'll ding the movie. All right, the trailer said it was 1994, but they were playing a song by DMX. DMX did not truly hit until, what, 98? So I was like, y'all playing Fast and Loose with these hip hop years. Then then in the movie, they play Hypnotized twice. Now, as a brother that has enjoyed a bit of the Notorious B.I.G., I got a ding you one time, my brothers and sisters that worked for this film. Nobody was sitting around saying, hey, Hypnotized came out in 97/98. It did not, or well, no, I think it was early 97 because it came out, it was the lead single for Life After Death. So this joint is not a 1994. We can't play this song to represent 1994. It's like, bruh, this song is in the future compared to this movie. You know what I'm saying? So I will ding that, but the music came through. We got Mama Said Knock You Out, and I'm going to tell you, Mama Said Knock You Out by LL Cool J is a classic album. Classic. Cars ride by with the booming system. But anyway, you know what I'm saying? Don't call it a comeback. But I enjoyed the music. The music was flames and el fuego, if you will. I like a little bit of the, you know, the locations. We got to see Peru. We got to see New York, of course. So, and we also got to see the reactions from the people at the in the kind of like the village that the primals, or sorry, that the maximals were in. So we got to see some a few locations, which was cool. So all in all, I think this movie was well put together. I ain't gonna, you know, hold y'all too long. If y'all want to do a super deep dive on this movie, I'm down. I'll hit you with a couple of other points. The chase scenes, which we got two of them, or did we get three? We got two of them, I think. We got two chase scenes. I enjoyed both of them. We kept high stakes. I also like the fact that Optimus Prime had a true equal in battle. When we meet Scourge, he beats Optimus Primal. He also beats Optimus Prime. So we know that this dude is not to be played with. We also get to see a different side of leadership between Optimus Prime and Optimus Primal, and how they feel about humans, especially due to what, you know, Bumblebee has been through. And sort of, I guess you could say, how Optimus Prime feels about his Autobots being able to get home and not really knowing about the war back on Cybertron, if it's even going on, you know what I'm saying? And we get to feel the weight on him, which I think is done in a way where we know that he is someone who is almost stressing over the immediacy of getting this key. The way they illustrate, I guess his, I don't know if I would say his fear, but it is definitely a deep concern over his responsibility. You know what I'm saying? We have a problem with, you know, Mirage, him getting hurt, Bumblebee gets hurt, and of course, as a leader, he's like, all of this falls back on me. So we do get a Optimus Prime that seems to be, to a certain degree, at the end of his rope, at some sorts. And I like the conversation between himself in Optimus Primal, and how that turns him and turns his perspective on his allies and who he should be fighting with or fighting for. You know what I'm saying? And of course, Toll All Are One. And they really push that point home where it's not the humans fighting on their own, or the Maximals fighting on their own, or the Autobots fighting on their own. It's them pulling together. And kind of, I guess, making this or showing this show of force through a unified front, which I think is good to show that Optimus Prime, even though we know him as like the leader, he still has times when he gets down and he needs to be inspired and he needs to be sort of shown that all is not lost. So I like that. You know what I'm saying? He's not the perfect leader. Not saying that he's a bad leader, but he also has times where he has to stumble and he has to get, you know, rejuvenated out there. So yeah, man, I'm happy. I'm happy with this movie. Like, yo, we looking good right now. You know what I'm saying? We've been looking good ever since Creed, basically. I mean, Quantumania wasn't the greatest, but it was cool. You know what I'm saying? We had Creed, Creed 3 slamming. Quantumania, it was all right. Then we had, yo, bruh, come on now. We had Fast and Furious. You know, come on, it's about family. Then we had Spider-Verse, which Across the Spider-Verse might be one of my favorite, if not favorite, animated film in the last, say, 20 years. And now we with Transformers. And Transformers, I was well pleased, especially when we get our, like, you know, teaser for the end. Bruh, look, y'all about to, yo, don't make me go crazy with what y'all think about doing. But I do enjoy the film, man. I like the implications of the of the teaser. Mirage was great. The voice acting came through. I really enjoyed how we have a renewed look on the alliance between Autobots or Transformers in general, you know, it could be Maximals as well, with humans, and what that might mean for the teaser, or I guess the stinger or the teaser or whatever for what's to come. Because of course, I know you saw it, I know I saw it, when he handed Noah that card and he flipped it on the other side and it said G.I. Joe, I was like, oh, come on now, come on, bruh. Look, I'ma just tell you like this. Don't get a brother hype. Look, hey, if we're gonna have solid quality from the humans, from the voice acting, get some cool explosions, some great chase scenes, what we had in Bumblebee, what we have now, yo man, look, I'm down. Let's do it. Yo Joe. Alright, that's all I'm saying. Let's get this G.I. Joe going. Let's get this popping. All right, because look, I've been saying for a long time, these two properties need to be coming together, cross-pollinating and all that good stuff. So I am a happy camper. I'm glad that I got the movie already on digital, because you best believe it, I got Bumblebee and I was taking a chance. I saw a brother was directing. I was like, all right, it's a brother directing. Let me go and take a chance. And I took a chance, and I was blessed out in these streets. So, holla at me, I'ma holla at you, down in the comments. Let's talk Transformers. I'm hyped, you know what I'm saying? I'm like, look, we got some good movies this year, man. We've been eating, you know what I'm saying? My sci-fi action adventure fans, we've been eating this year, you know what I'm saying? We've been good. They cooking up some good stuff, so we all right. Now all we need to do is get Hollywood to go and pay these writers right, and then also pay these artists right, and we good. But you know what I'm saying? That's for another show. Here's the deal. Transformers, y'all in good hands right now, all right? Don't mess it up. Take your time. You know what I'm saying? Do it right. You know what I'm saying? Y'all got G.I. Joe cooking up. Take your time. Do it right. Don't mess up. All right? You got two movies. All right? You get another good movie, that's a streak. All right? All right? So look, all I'm saying is just move forward amicably, take your time, do some dope stuff. Of course, NERD, SOUL, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, podcast, all that jazz. Holler at me, I'ma holler at you. Of course, next time, if you want me to go deeper into this film, and if you want me to bring somebody in on the show, holler at me. We'll see what we can do. Until next time, love all y'all. Peace.